Uber is closer to a deal that would dramatically reshape the company, but it could all still fall apart. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Earlier this week, Uber announced progress toward a massive investment from the Japanese conglomeration SoftBank. In typical Uber fashion, nothing about this deal has been normal or straightforward. If it goes through, it'll be worth about $10 billion, with roughly $1 billion invested directly. The rest would be spent buying up to 14 to 17% of Uber's shares, which existing shareholders would have to sell. That's not all. The deal would require changes to the board that take power away from former Uber CEO Travis Kalanick, who still has a seat on the board and recently installed two surprise new members. Kalanick, you may also remember, was ousted back in June after sexual harassment allegations and other issues of toxic culture at Uber. Here's analyst and venture capitalist Paul Kodrosky.
I'm thinking it's going to turn into an HBO miniseries, and maybe we should all wait for that.
Kodrosky is with the firm SK Ventures. I asked him just how significant this SoftBank takeover really is.
Oh, immense. I mean, you don't get to those kinds of percentages without having that kind of influence. So I wouldn't go so far as to call it a takeover, but it's going to make SoftBank the most significant player in terms of what happens to this company, Uber, over the next few years.
So why would either of them want to go through all of this?
Well, this is a company that's really, despite all of its sort of notoriety and incredible growth, it's a remarkable story, that still consumes prodigious amounts of capital. And that capital has to come from outside investors, and those outside investors have to put up a lot of it in the billions. The other answer is, for a long time, this company was seen as an extremely hot prospect. And so a lot of people saw the price ratcheting up and wanted to be an owner at whatever price they could get in. And by people, I mean large funds like SoftBank. And so that's why we've seen this perverse situation where the value of the company after this SoftBank investment will be lower than the last major investment round.
This could still fall apart though, right? SoftBank could still walk away?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, a friend of mine...
you almost sound like you think it's more likely than not, in fact.
Well, the recent history of this company and of the sorts of board-level dissension inside of it suggests that this is far from over, that there's just, you know, too many vested interests, too many personalities, some very, very big and strong personalities here. This is not a rational process, and it's taken far too long. So whenever you see those are the hallmarks of something that could fall apart over, you know, the color of M&Ms at a meeting.
You know, Lyft is a name that has also come up in this conversation as a possible alternative if this deal falls apart. What would that look like? I mean, if SoftBank pivots to Lyft, does that just change the game?
Oh, absolutely. And increasingly, the two companies are largely seen as interchangeable, which will get, you know, all kinds of hate mail. You say that kind of thing. But, you know, generally speaking, as my kids like to point out, anytime they see someone with an Uber sticker in the back window, they almost guaranteed now have a Lyft sticker as well. So that's a legitimate, you know, club that SoftBank can beat Uber with and say, you're not the only service out here that we can invest in should we decide that we want to take a big chunk of one of the largest players, because they're just not as differentiated as they once were.
Well, and here's the thing. Although the valuations are huge and the premise is disruptive and powerful, we still don't actually know if these business models work, right? Like, just from your gut, do you really think Uber, have they cracked this nut? Are they going to make money?
No, not at all. And that's the perverse thing about all of this. And that's what makes it all so entertaining, is that it's not clear at all to me that they've really figured out anything other than how you can raise, you know, prodigious amounts of capital and then sort of subsidize car sharing, taxi equivalent rides, and then use that to offer us competitive prices. Those are none of the hallmarks of sort of a truly long-term sustainable business yet.
Quickly, let's just talk about SoftBank and this Vision Fund for a minute. I mean, like you said, there aren't that many players with this much money. And here's a fund coming in with the potential to shape the whole tech landscape, it feels like.
SoftBank is just some kind of, in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy sort of terms, it's like this artificial planet that just periodically sort of intersects with our own, drops prodigious amounts of capital, and then moves off. It's $25 billion. They're talking about investing now, just for example, in Saudi electricity and creating a new city in Saudi Arabia called NEOM. I mean, it's truly an incredible amount of money, which makes people very nervous, because whenever you have that much money to invest, you tend not to invest based on valuation. You invest because someone says, I can take $5 billion. And you say, thank God someone can take $5 billion, because I've got a lot of money I need to invest. And that tends to lead to some very strange outcomes.
Yeah. I mean, how distorting could that be? Just at the most local level, if this deal goes through, you know, Travis Kalanick becomes a billionaire.
Right.
Many others at Uber become millionaires. You know, how distorting is that for an already pretty weird economy?
Immensely. I mean, for many real estate agents in the Bay Area, Christmas is going to come very, very early because there are a lot of early employees who were locked up, who were prevented from selling even a fraction of their shares for a long time, as well as some investors. And you can expect that they'll all be selling. They're allowed to sell, I think, in the last offer, the suggestion was up to 50% of their shareholdings. That will make them, you know, multi-millionaires, which will feed directly back into the economy, which is in some ways very good things, but it's also going to lead to further inflation in that incredibly inflated asset of Bay Area housing. So it's going to have trickle-down effects all over the place.
I'm not going to lie. It makes me kind of root for it to fall apart because I can't watch this market keep doing this.
As I said, I'm just waiting for the HBO miniseries.
That was Paul Kudrowski, a venture capitalist at the firm SK Ventures. On the SoftBank side of things, the CEO of its investment group said Tuesday that, quote, "by no means is our investment decided." I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.